Hello, and welcome back to the Gaming Backlog Book Club. We are here to chat about the early moments of Fallout 4. And reminder, we do go into spoilers sometimes, so if you want to avoid those, start at our previous episode and come back and play along once you've caught up. Just to kick it off, I thought the live action intro video about the state of the world before the bomb drop was a nice touch. It really nailed the kind of old school documentary film style that I find so entertaining to watch whenever you see those.
Yeah, it was interesting. It was fun to watch. Kind of reminded me, obviously, like the show did something I think similar, or it feels like the beginning
Right.
of the show. And yeah, it kind of reminded me of that.
There's
It's
also
a nice
the
way to introduce yourself into the
Right.
world of Fallout.
I don't know if in school they ever showed you the duck and cover videos from back then, but about what to do if a bomb drops. I think it's like an animated thing with a turtle or something. Gave me a bit of the vibe of that too, because the old-timey voices.
No, I never had those videos. We just had duck and cover training for earthquakes and
Oh
whatever we had to
yeah, that's a
do.
little
But
different. Yeah, I've had those too,
yeah, a
but
bit different, but it was
there,
mainly
I
earthquakes
think if you YouTube just duck and cover, maybe it'll pull up that thing, or duck and cover 50s. I don't know. But it was a nice little intro. It's also funny that the intro kind of sets this world as taking place specifically in 2077. Sure seems like a very different result for the universe than what we got in Cyberpunk.
Yeah, huh. Oh, I didn't even put that together.
I
I
mean, I
guess, huh, yeah.
have to assume, I mean, unless someone that worked at Bethesda or Obsidian moved over to CD Projekt Red or to whoever the people that made the board game of Cyberpunk originally brought the year to it, or maybe I don't know how long the Cyberpunk board game's been around. Anyway, kind of just a funny coincidence, though.
Right, it is. It just seems to be a funny coincidence that
They
it's the
just happen to be in the
sort of
same
same
year.
year, but
Yeah,
two
same
completely different
country. Yeah.
worlds.
Oh yeah.
I mean, I haven't played
How?
Cyberpunk, but just from looking at it, it's definitely not the Wasteland.
Oh no, it's pretty much the exact opposite. Instead of being completely ruined, it's very high tech and futuristic. How long did you spend in a character creator?
Actually, not as long as sometimes I do. It was.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, I was actually pretty quick. Just kind of found like a preset face I liked. I scrolled through them all kind of quickly, found what I liked, then just changed it up very slightly. I gave my guy a cool, I think it's called an old timey mustache, where it
Nice.
like rolls on the end. Except I will say now in game, I can't even see it because I'm wearing a gas mask, so I can't even see my
Yeah,
guy's face.
there you go.
But yeah, I didn't actually spend too long. I have, for name wise, very quick for me. I name now every character like that for me after my nephew. It's just,
Okay.
it makes it so much, it just makes it very easy for me. So any character I have to create, sports games, anything, I just call it after my
Anything.
nephew.
All right. That's a
So
solid, yeah. Quick and easy. Don't need to think about it too much.
yeah, it was pretty, yeah, it went through pretty quick. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that you could change. Like you can go very
Yeah,
in
there's a
detail,
lot of detail. I mean, you can
but I didn't
even targeting all the
need.
spots in the face was kind of even
Yeah.
difficult because they're so granular.
And I said, like, I didn't do it too much because I knew, like, in this game, there's going to be stuff that, like, you're going to put on masks, you're going to put on other stuff, like, you're going to
Yeah,
have other
and
equipment to put on, but you may not see your face for.
right, and it's a first person game. I mean, you can play it in
Yeah.
third person, but you can't even really spin around to see your own the front of you. So you only
No,
really
it's.
see that in the conversations. So I think in a first person game, it's kind of silly to go really in depth to the way someone looks. If you ask me, kind of like all the skins in first person competitive shooters don't make a lot of sense to spend tons of money on because you just see an arm with a different
Yeah.
color and maybe a
It was
different
like that.
weapon.
It was like that for the game actually I was playing recently. The new, actually, I think it's the new, no, Obsidian game, is it? Avowed.
Outer Worlds. Oh,
No,
Avowed, yeah.
Avowed, which was on Xbox, the Xbox exclusive one. So I was playing that, but again, you create your own character and you can do first and third person. And in that one, actually,
You
I
can
do the
actually
third
see.
person.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you can actually like spin it all the way around to see you guys. So I'd play third person in that, but.
Got it.
Yeah, this one I'm enjoying because I think me and you had a conversation about it, and I was like, you were kind of like, it's like more Bioshocky where it's like you have your gun. So that's what I got into the mindset of I'm doing first person. It's sort of like Bioshocky and Bioshock-like, and I'll just go like that. And I'm enjoying it.
Yeah, I know it was. I mean, like long before when it came out, or when Fallout 3 came out, or New Vegas, I know everyone that talked about it was talking about first person, and I've always thought of it as a first person game. I was surprised that third person was an option, but it just feels like it was built as a first person game, so that's how I'm going. And
yeah, I agree.
And yeah, it doesn't make tons of sense to spend too much time. I did spend like 20 minutes or so just like seeing what was possible, but also you don't need to go too accurate, right? I don't know. Yeah, that's kind of...
Yeah, I probably spent the exact same amount of time. As I said, my guy wasn't like... I didn't add like scars or a whole bunch of stuff. Just changed some stuff very minimally. Right. But I looked through of what options I could have. And they give you a very good amount of options. But
For people that like character creators, then, which I do in a lot of games, but it's also... This is 10 years old, so it's not... It's while it's very in-depth, it didn't feel like it was all that accurate. Like, if I wanted to go super, like... carbon copy of myself, so I just went kind of semi. So right after designing my character to look vaguely like me, I was pretty much immediately immersed, since I have a 1-year-old who just recently passed through the same baby phase that the player character's kid Sean was in at the start. So I decided, before really getting into the meat of the story, that I would try to role play this game as what I would do in the situations that we end up coming across. So it's like, a lot of the times when I'm playing a game, an open-ended game like this, I'll semi-shoot for what I think will get me towards the best ending or whatever. But I'm trying to just like do this as if I would actually, if I was actually there. So that's kind of liberating and interesting in a sense, that I'm not like trying to get a specific result out of it.
Mm-hmm. I actually don't know if this game has multiple endings. Yeah,
to be honest, I have no idea either, but just a different way to approach things.
Yeah, no, definitely.
I was surprised, actually, that Codsworth called me by my name with voice acting. So he actually said, Andrew. I was not expecting that at all. I don't know if they were able to program every single name that exists into that, but it caught me off guard. And he does it more than once.
Okay. I actually didn't even... I don't know if he said my character's name. Even if he did, I think I'm just... It didn't even register with me.
Listen out for it. It's kind of...
Yeah, well, I'll have to go back to Codsworth and talk to him. Let's see what he says.
Yeah. Which, you know... So I'm assuming you're still with Dogmeat or someone else as your companion?
Yeah, I did change for a second, but it was more of, I didn't know that was, I thought it was like adding, like I thought I could have both when I got party to that point. Yeah. And then I was like, nope, I like Dogmeat.
You just get one, buddy. Yeah. So I grabbed Codsworth and I was like, okay, I don't want to go all the way back to it was not that far, but back to the gas station to pick up Dogmeat. So I just ran with Codsworth for a bit, and he's surprisingly useful because he's got freaking whirling blades on his arms. Like chainsaw blades. Buzzsaw, that's the word.
Can he stim you? Can he heal you?
I have not tried that yet. But
I was curious on, because I thought I saw, like, looking at him, like an arm that might have like what looks to be...
Wouldn't be surprised.
Stim pack? Because I was like, if that's the case, then he'd be useful to take along.
I have not come across that, so I'll let you know I'll stick with him for a bit longer. So yeah, I mean, you almost... immediately after starting to see the bomb drop, after hearing on the news that bombs hit New York and Pennsylvania, gotta wonder at this stage if we'll ever find out who was dropping the bombs in the first place. I vaguely feel like we heard a little bit of that in the TV show, but don't remember.
I don't remember.
And then...
I think you're right, but I honestly can't remember.
Yeah, I guess we'll find out. I'm really shocked because I really don't think if you could see it hitting the ground or almost hitting the ground that your elevator is going to get down in time to survive. But here we are.
Yeah, I know. I thought that too. That was kind of,
Something a little fishy about that. Maybe we are a ghoul after all and just it doesn't look like it. But yeah, so you go into this shady place and get rushed into a cryogenic sleep, and then you wake up the first time to see someone kidnap your son Sean and kill your spouse while you're still locked in, and then refreeze you, and just like that, an instant connection to our previous game Silent Hill 2. We're now playing as a widow, I wonder if we'll also come across some pizza here in post-apocalyptic Boston. Might be radioactive, but I'm sure it's edible.
We might. I don't think.
You haven't found any yet? I haven't found any yet.
I haven't found any pizza. I'm trying to think. I found other things. I found bubble gum.
Lots of cereal. Sugar bombs.
Lots of cereal. Alcohol. A lot of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I haven't seen any pizza yet.
Sugar bombs and Nuka-Cola. It's a heavily balanced breakfast. Anyway, then you wake up. Who knows how the hell long after that happened, at least in the moment. You find out pretty quickly afterwards. But maybe Sean, the son, is even older than you are now? I guess it's possible. I guess we'll find out. I haven't come across him yet.
That's what I was kind of wondering.
What is the time gap in between? You wake up 200 years later,
Yeah, it's like 200 years later.
You get frozen, 200 years later, you're waking up. Was Sean woken up after 5 years? After 195? And so he's, 6 years old or something? I have no idea. Maybe he's around our age. No clue.
Maybe. Yeah.
Maybe he's just completely gone. So, whatever. I'm curious to see it all unravel. Did you read the security terminal really early after you leave your cryopod? Like before going outside, that said Vault 111 is designed to test long-term effects of suspended animation.
Yep. Yeah. I read all that.
On unaware human subjects. So we are test subjects without knowing it. And I think that came across in the show as well, because they go into a vault. It's just another vault at some point.
There's the whole thing with Fallout is every vault is completely different. And like every vault is not every vault, but there are quite a few vaults that are for just human experimentation.
Okay, I'm going to venture a guess that they're all kinds. Experimentation. So some greedy corporation is at it again.
But yeah, and I think for this one it said too, like short term, this was going to be looked after by the staff, and then long term, in the being frozen, it was going to be looked after by Vault Tech.
Yeah. So how did they know the bombs were going to drop pretty soon so that they're convincing people to sign up? Obviously, they want to try these things. Did Vault Tech start the bombs themselves, or is it just like lucky timing that they were prepared?
I wouldn't be sure. I need to go rewatch season one, because I feel like they say maybe Vault Tech. I think Vault Tech might have been. I feel like they are slightly. What am I trying to say? Slightly. I can't think of the word. Whatever. Yeah, I think they did have a hand in dropping.
Must have been, because you don't set up unaware test subjects and then
you have all the vaults set up and
why is it underground? Like they could have done test subjects anywhere. So.
Before you even get into the vault, like you have the Vault Tech salesman who's like, you can tell like he's hurrying, like I need you to answer these questions and sign up to be part of Vault 111 like as soon as possible.
Yeah, he was really banging on the door, huh? So it's like you're the ideal candidate or something.
Yeah.
Did you, still inside the, the vault, did you play the literal Donkey Kong arcade game clone, the Red Menace? I was doing that for like 30 minutes, I think.
Oh, dang.
I'm playing Donkey Kong. All right, I'll just stick around.
I did play that for a little bit.
Pretty funny.
Yeah, that was fun.
Obviously, this is a fairly large game. I wouldn't be surprised if there are other tribute clones like that.
Oh, I'm sure there are multiple different games around.
Yeah. And I think also pretty funny, as you're leaving and fighting those giant cockroaches, you see a skeleton in the vault suit. So, I mean, this is all before you find out it's been 200 years. So right there, you realize, okay, whatever happened must have happened a long time ago. And that's where you get your Pip-Boy and. Yeah, I mean, that, of course, set everything up perfectly for you right before you go outside.
Yeah, it does. I actually liked looking through. It took me a second to get used to flipping through everything in the Pip-Boy.
It was a little clunky at first with the triggers to flip sections and then inside those with the D-pad instead of R1L1, but I figured it out.
Yeah, I figured it out, but it was, I'm now used to it. I've now just...
Right, exactly.
I've been roaming for hours, so I'm kind of now used to just looking at going back and forth out of my Pip-Boy.
Right. I also, so once you're outside, I find it funny that Codsworth has this really overly exaggerated tone of voice, trying to act like all is well, and he just wants to pick right back up where he left off as your helper, but then he breaks down if you press him about it, how he's acting funny, and he spills the beans on having been there for 210 years or more, and the first 10 you spent endlessly waxing the radiation from the floors. I mean, this guy had it rough, considering how much of a personality he has. Not just your typical robot.
No, yeah. Poor Codsworth, but very loyal servant. Very loyal.
Yeah, really.
Robot.
Yeah, he just hung around the neighborhood the whole time.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess he wandered like one little town over and then got immediately attacked and turned around and came back. And then you also, I mean, I'm glad that they kind of, what's the word? Throw all of these things that you're expecting pretty early on. So, you know, you find dog meat really quickly. I was worried we were going to have to wait a ton of hours of gameplay to find our loyal companion, but he showed up so quickly and I was pretty stoked about it. There's nothing like an attack dog who can sniff out enemies and pick up things for you.
Yeah, and he can store things as well, which is...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, if you go onto him and go to trade or whatever, you can see what he's found. But okay, you can also, if you're over or close to weight limit, you can store some stuff with him. I don't know how much. I've just stored a few things.
I gotta try that.
Yeah.
The only thing that's missing is I don't think I saw an option to pet him, though. So that's a shame.
No, I just talk to him every now and then.
Yeah, yeah. You know what was funny? That when I switched to Codsworth, it makes you look at your other companion and he like kind of had a frowning face.
Oh, yes. When you switch them? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You like kind of tell like dog meat. It's like, go over there. It's like, oh, okay.
I felt bad, but yeah, onward and upward. And then so, okay, that was the prologue, right? Getting into the first true main quest out of time takes you across that wooden footbridge into the surprisingly Wild West structured town of Concord. I passed by that auto mechanic / gas station on the way, and there are all types of workbenches to build and upgrade literally everything in there. I guess it makes sense why you have a seemingly bottomless Mary Poppins backpack and have options to pick up literally everything in the world. Obviously, you get so many crafting materials, you got to put them somewhere and use them for something.
Yeah, you get a ton. There's stuff everywhere. And yeah. I was bet, like, at the start, I was just picking up everything.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Not knowing, like, oh, is this going to be useful? This is going to be useful. And now, like, I've been.
What's it called? Like, exploring gamer FOMO. You see an item, you got to pick it up.
And like, I realize now, like, oh, ruthless. What I need, what I don't need. And I've dropped some stuff. And
yeah, based on the materials you can get out of them.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't know if you did this too, but so just below the hill from the mechanic, there's also a cave, which I knew was going to be somewhere in the area because the computer in the mechanic's office said something about ditching all the barrels in the cave nearby during the inspection. So I went in there and I couldn't open any barrels, but there was a safe. So I basically blew my first lockpicking attempt on it and losing my only bobby pin. But I found so far that lockpicking is kind of tough. It doesn't help that the bobby pins immediately deteriorate either if you screw up.
Yeah, I haven't been too bad because obviously it's right now the only ones you can do are novice. Let's say novice, right. And I've been pretty good because what I'll do is I'll move it like a slight way and then like the bobby pin, and then when I start to move the lock, if it starts to shake, I just stop. I move the pin another way just to see, and when I can see it's not shaking, and then I'll just keep unlocking. If it starts to shake towards the end or like almost unlocked, I'll stop again and then move it slightly the direction I know it's supposed to go and then try again. And I've actually been pretty good. I mean, I've unlocked quite a lot of things, but I don't think I went to that cave. Where was that cave?
It's literally like basically if you imagine a basement underneath the mechanic. It's on. If there's a hill behind the mechanic office outside of your, like, right before Concord, going from Sanctuary to Concord.
In the gas station?
The gas station mechanic building. Okay. So, like, you go past it to the right from the road, and then go down a hill, and you just turn around, basically, and look back at that gas station, and there's a little cave there. It's nothing crazy or special, but I read the document in the computer and was like, oh, I'm going to go look for this. And I wandered off and thinking it was like nearby, but then I couldn't find it. So I turned around and was like, oh, there it is.
There it is. Okay. I'll find that next time I go down.
Yeah, if you feel like going all the way back, sure.
I'm not too far away. Actually, that's the one thing I like about this is you can fast travel to places that you have gone to. That you can fast travel back and forth, and I do really like that. And it's pretty quick.
Fast travel is great. I think the really good thing about this being optimized for PS5 is that it's so fast to load.
Mm-hmm.
Like the fact that the quick save feature is useful, and then you can load really quickly, so you don't. I mean, I actually used that when I was first learning the lock picking thing. After my first screw up, I had like a batch of three, and so I quick saved. And then right before trying to open a thing and then just practice lockpicking because I kept screwing up. So I'm a bit better at it now. But
yeah, I do like how much it autosaves / it gives you that if you think you're in like a little bit of a tense situation of going to, you can quick save.
Yeah, yeah, it's helpful. And then,
yeah,
I basically just go quick save my entire play session. And then when I'm ready to leave, I do a real save.
I also like that it saves on exit too. Like you don't have to save it.
Yeah,
like if you just hit quit, it just automatically just saves it.
Yeah,
they're just nice little touches from playing other video games.
Quality of life, yeah, that everything should have. I'm not going to do this at all in the first playthrough, but I think it's pretty cool that this version of Fallout 4 has mods available.
I was looking at those. I was looking through all the mods. Oh, I think actually before I started the game. Before you start the game, like the main menu of the game, you can look through all the mods. Yeah, some of them were really cool. I was like, but I'm not. I want to play. This is...
Yeah, play it the regular way. And then
the regular way.
If you redo it or do another playthrough eventually, maybe the mods are fun to play around with. I mean, I might do it actually once we roll credits and wrap this up. I'll probably just pop in there just to see what mods do to it. Because I actually have never played a game with a mod installed because I'm not a PC player. So I've always been curious and read a lot about it, but... might as well tinker it, figure it out.
Yeah.
See what all the fuss is about. So yeah, I mean, you're in a very small area of the map in these early hours, or hour if you want. The next main quest was When Freedom Calls, so it takes place at the Museum of Freedom, which is a U.S. Revolutionary War museum. You immediately, you get that kind of laser rifle type thing. And then you have to find your way up to the upper floors to meet up with the Minutemen. But did you get flashbacks to Silent Hill when you walk through the museum and see the mannequins reenacting whatever part of history? I'm just like, are these things going to attack me?
Yeah, I actually swung and knocked over a couple. Be like, don't you move. Don't you get up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that was too recent in the memory to not go after the mannequins.
Yeah.
And I think, you reach the Minutemen, you hear a tiny bit of story, and then you get attacked by some more raiders, and then they give you power armor. There's empty power armor upstairs. I, by chance, had picked up the power cell in the basement before even getting to them, and it's like, oh, I already have
same
that.
Same here.
Yeah.
So I'm curious, though. Did you bobby pin the door, or did you unlock with the terminal?
I don't remember.
I bobby pinned the door because I didn't see the terminal. I just saw the door and it said novice.
Oh, the terminal had the super weird password system. Yeah, I just pushed some random things in just to see what would happen on the door and it unlocked. So I don't. I literally got the most lucky combination of characters out of the 100 characters on there. I don't know.
Have you unlocked a few terminals?
No, that was the only one so far.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, I've unlocked.
Have you figured? How do they work?
I've unlocked quite a few just because I've done a lot of roaming afterwards. Just to roam because it's such.
Pushed buttons and it worked. So how does it actually function?
So what you do? So it'll pop up with everything, and then there are words, obviously, within the. All the stuff, you will see certain words, usually 4 or 5 letter words, maybe 5 or 5. And if you press on it, it says, I think you get 3 or 4 attempts.
Yeah.
It shows at the top. If you press on a word that you think it might be, but it's not it. It's incorrect. It'll say the word on the bottom right, and then it'll say likeness. And if it says likeness zero, that means none of where those characters are. So say you do the word, like, I don't know, small, S-M-A-L-L. And if you do it and it says no likeness, that means where the, it doesn't mean it doesn't have those characters. It just means it's none of those characters are in the right position. So like there was a couple, so say.
So did that first check count as one of your attempts?
Yes, it counts as your attempt. Okay. Yeah.
So you get four attempts and you get
it. Kind of keep going, and then you'll see it'll say, like, if you get one that's not right but has likeness, it'll say like likeness two or likeness one. So say you do like, yeah, like I said, small's not right or whatever, but you do something like taste and it says like two likeness, then you could look for something like maybe, I don't know, waste,
something that has
or
not some waste, of those like characters overlapping.
Yeah, something, if you can, it doesn't tell you exactly what characters are the likeness, but you can just kind of deduce it by looking through and being like, okay, this one has some letters in the same way. And
yeah, and so your options for the hints are on the left side. Are those things there?
No, it's on the bottom right, the likeness stuff, when you're looking at the terminal, when you're clicking.
You said you choose small or whatever. Like, is that an option that they give you, or is that, or does something you have to write in by yourself?
No, it's what they give you.
Okay, yeah, so that's it. So they give you hints, basically, that you can use to kind of decipher the thing. All right, well, I'll have to try some more of these doors.
I think terminals. When I first did one, it told me when I...
Yeah, it gave me a little bit of a tool.
It gave me like a
tutorial,
but
I didn't super pay attention, so that was my mistake.
I think I was the same way, but then after doing, as I said, I've done quite a few, unlocked quite a few, I've figured out how to do it.
Yeah.
So, and again, all right, there are times where I've got it on the first try, just because it's like... of where you are,
yeah,
like in a certain place.
Oh,
you would think, like, I think one of wherever I was somewhere and it was like something specific, and I was like, oh, I was in a supermarket and there was like one that said, what was it, like mart was one of the choices, so I clicked mart and it was right, because I was like, well, I'm in a supermarket, I wonder if that's it.
Okay that makes sense though. So yeah. Using some logic there. All right, well, I'll have to try out some more of these terminals.
I kind of like it, though. I think it's
it's kind of fun.
It's a
little more interesting than the pipe puzzle game.
As I said, as of right now, I can only
things in BioShock.
You can only do novice ones. So once we get higher up and we can do higher ones,
you have to see how
difficult those are.
Put points, experience points to that skill. Okay. So you grab the what's it called?
The fusion core.
The fusion core, put it in the power armor, and that's like a moment from that we know already about, because the power armor is on the cover of the game and very famous as a Fallout detail character, something.
Faction, I guess, because it's with Brotherhood of Steel.
Yeah, right. So. And so it's something, and we've seen it in the show, obviously. So it's just a kind of a badass moment to see your character step into the power armor. And then I think even more than that, though, was just literally just jumping off the roof of the building with no damage at all and destroying everything, all the raiders with the helicopter minigun. Like, that's something you don't see every day. Just gonna rip a off of a helicopter and then jump off a building. Total badass.
Yeah, it was cool. You fight all the raiders down there, take them all out, and then you wake up an angry Deathclaw. And I love that
the first Deathclaw.
Yeah, you see it like super early in the game too, which is kind of...
It's like everything that we kind of meant, almost everything we've mentioned in our pre-playthrough expectations episode last time, we've already come across a little bit. I think I haven't, in these early sections right next to you where you pop out of the vault, you don't see a lot of ghouls or any at all. But I think that it's really cool that you see most of these major things we know about from the
Yeah.
I also realized at that point, so while you're after killing the Deathclaw, while you're in the power armor, the Pip-Boy pulls up and looks different. So it's the yellow, I think, and has a different kind of menu format. So it's a little small detail, but it makes sense that they're going to put something else in there. What was I going to say? So I found a tunnel at the beginning of that main drag in Concord before you get to the museum. and it looks like there's like a giant tunnel system. There's a little ramp and you go down underground. There's a giant tunnel system underneath Concord. Did you find that?
Yep.
It was kind of right where the Deathclaw came
out. Yeah, right where the Deathclaw was. Yeah, I went through all that.
Yeah, that was a fun. I mean, I was expecting to have like a little shelter or a closet with some items, and it was like a full blown area.
Yeah,
like,
it was.
Discovering those kinds of random things or like finding a cave because I read a computer, like those are the things that are sticking out to me right now about like what makes this kind of interesting and unique.
Yeah, it also I found that. That was pretty cool. There was actually kind of a difficult enemy in there.
Yeah, Pretty tough.
From what I remember, crab. Some mutant crab. But it also was, for the first hour, I didn't realize I had a flashlight.
Like you picked up a flashlight or you automatically have a flashlight?
No, you have it. If you hold circle, you get a flash. Your flashlight turns on. In power armor or out of power armor, either one. In power armor, you have a headlamp.
Yeah, interesting. I have not used that.
No, it helped me because it was darker and I was like, oh.
Well, you end up there's a day-night cycle, so you end up at night half the time, and so that'd be useful. I should probably start using that. I also, I switched in my control settings. I switched triangle and circle because I found pulling, I still do it even though I changed it. I keep hitting the trackpad to try to pull up my map and Pip-Boy, and it switches to third person. I'm like, oh yeah, okay. But so the Pip-Boy being on circle just seems so weird to me because I'm used to that being like a dodge button. And the fact that here it's the Pip-Boy button and then triangle's your jump button instead of X, I kind of had me all over the place. So I swapped triangle and circle so I could jump with triangle and I pull up. No, I jump with circle. Which is like movement based, which is kind of like a dodge in another game. And then I have the triangle to pull up the Pip-Boy. And I still don't love it, but that's better than nothing.
I know what you mean with the dodge, though, because there was like a couple fights I got in. I pressed circle.
Dodge,
and
try and dodge. Why am I dodging?
So use it from Silent Hill to remake.
I mean, yeah, just like so many games. Yeah, so many games you circle as a dodge these days. So that and this is older, but it predates most of those. So just got to get used to it. And so, okay, at this point, right? You know, you get back to Sanctuary, which is the new name for your old neighborhood with Preston and the Minutemen, and he acted like the fact that you lived in that neighborhood 200 years ago was the weirdest thing. Since most other people that old are ghouls. I mean, lucky us that we're just totally normal.
Yeah, very lucky.
But it's kind of funny because it sets the stage a little bit for like the kind of interactions you have once you reveal more information about yourself. It's like, oh, you're one of those weirdos that was like frozen and you don't know anything about this place.
The old days.
So it makes you wonder, like, if are there at this point, what, like, great great grandparents are they ghouls now? Like, how do these people end up being born at this point?
Oh, I don't, yeah.
Like without major radiation issues.
Yeah, it's a good question. You would think there'd be some, big radiation issues.
Well, or maybe they're the vaults that their ancestors, I don't know. The vaults that they're great-great-grandparents came out of, maybe they came out like 5 years after the bombs dropped instead of many, many more like we did.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, right, you're in Sanctuary, you pull up the last thing and you do, you meet up with, forget the guy's name, the kind of redneck-sounding dude.
I know, it starts with an S. Yeah, what was it?
Sturgis, there it is, thanks.
There you go, Sturgis, yeah.
So you do that and you wrap up the When Freedom Calls quest, and here you're like maybe 45 minutes to 2 hours in, depending on how much you wander around. And unless they get continuously longer, the main story looks like it'll fly by if you're not careful. And we finished those first quests so quickly, the first three of them that we signed up for this. I guess the bulk of gameplay is going to be open world exploration and probably lots of that to level up. So you're at the right level to compete and fight in later main quests. Or maybe you could just beeline it through to the ending and then wander around after that. But we're doing it still trying to divide up the main quests.
Yeah. Yeah, as I said, like this time I did all the main quests, and then now recently, I mean, I've did all the main quests, and then I'm not gonna lie, for the last however many hours I've put into it, I've just been roaming around kind of I haven't gone down to Diamond City is where we next have to go. I haven't gone down that way. It's just more of, I've just been exploring like what was up around Sanctuary. And
yeah, I went east from Sanctuary and found the kind of mine pits or whatever they are.
The excavation site or whatever?
Yeah, I went underwater, under radiated water. And
oh, did you do that?
I did some pumps. Yeah, I just swam around in there. And so I found out the radiation, if you get radiation damage, it temporarily eliminates your maximum health. Slowly decreases the bar, yeah. And so you can use, what are they called, Rad-Away.
Yeah.
And there's another one called, I think, Rad-X that like gives you a resistance to it for a time. But yeah, I took a lot of radiation swimming around in that water, and it was sitting at 75% health for a while.
Oh, okay. All right. So you did. I didn't do it. I talked to the guy, but I didn't actually do that quest.
Because it was pretty quick. You do the thing and some couple enemies pop out and you kill them. And then I still can't tell if it's complete because it says talk to the guy. But he says, I've got some other things to do to continue to dig through here. So I don't know if it's a quest line and there's going to be something else come up later. But
oh, I'm sure.
So, I mean, there's obviously tons and tons of side quests in this game at this point. Without knowing more, if there's more to continue with it, I don't think it's worth wandering over there to do it unless there's like a treasure trove of items or weapons later. So right now, don't go out of your way to go do that thing.
Okay. Yeah, I'm on kind of the opposite side of the map right now.
Yeah. So I went east and then started heading kind of southeast.
I started that way too. I found I went east. I found a Air Force satellite base type that I went through. Cleared it all out, filled with raiders. And then in the bottom of it, there's like a higher up raider. Because you can see they all say like raider, whatever they say, raider scum, raider. And then one of them has a name. So it's like that's obviously the boss.
Name
or the character
is going to be a, yep.
Yeah. So they're a little harder to take out, but I took them out along with dog meat. And then searched through all that.
Anything worth there to go do that?
Yeah. There is. So just like in the first, on the main quest of When Freedom Calls, like on the desk, if you found it, like the little Vault Boy bobblehead.
Mm-hmm.
So if you pick them up, like it gives you like a permanent stat increase to.
Yes.
Whatever. I think there might have been one of those in there, but there was also a couple of, I don't know if you found any, like there's magazines that you can find lying around. And if you grab
and those
them,
also give some permanent something, right?
Yeah, they can give you like some permanent stat increases or whatever. Or I found one that gave me unlocked a like a body, like a paint job for the power armor.
Oh, that's cool.
A specific paint armor, paint job. But yeah, so there was like one or two of those in there. But then there was a lot of ammo because it was military. So there's quite a lot of ammo, which is useful. Some stims.
Ammo's always useful. Stems are always useful.
And then actually I did another, I found this farm and the farm actually said like, oh, we had a daughter and she was killed by raiders and all that. And they took her locket and they're up at the satellite. And I was like, oh, I'd only been there, but I guess I had missed that locket. So I went back to it. I fast traveled back. And I like, luckily this is also, I guess the nice thing is since I cleared everybody out, I fast traveled back. No one was in there. It was empty.
Oh yeah.
They don't respawn.
That's helpful.
Yeah. So I just went back
slow,
in there.
Slow progress down. This, with
yeah, I got the locket respawning. And then fast travel back to the farm. Yeah. But that was one of them. I did a bigger side quest of like right when you do the sanctuary and you talk to Preston, he says like, oh, go to Twin Pines or somewhere. Go to this place and talk to these people. They're like another farm sanctuary type area. So I talked to them and they said, oh, yeah, these raiders down at this factory, which was quite a bit more down south, not quite as far as Diamond City. It's about halfway between. They've been annoying us and all that. And I went there. That one was difficult. There was a lot of raiders. I died a few times.
Yeah.
I mean, made it through.
And I might have just not seen it because there's a lot going on in the HUD and all that. But does it display the level of the enemies?
You
just got to kind of see how slowly you
just
do damage
see,
to them.
Yeah, how much damage you're doing.
Like that'd be a quality of life thing. It'd be useful.
Yeah, it kind of would
like,
be.
Am I fighting against level 30 people and I'm level 10 still? What exactly is happening?
Yeah, because at that point I was probably level I don't know, 5 maybe.
Level
5, 6, and they were probably around there, if not a bit higher, because it took quite a few shots to take people out.
All right, level
now
level,
I'm up to level 9.
I'm
up to level 9 now, but yeah, it was good though, because it was again a lot of stuff in there. It was like a pretty good side quest, and then I got them to join the Minutemen. So it's like another place that I can go and like stay at. And yeah.
I mean, it makes sense that you get people to join your cause, and then you can stay where they are.
Mm-hmm. So,
I've just been
enjoying roaming around.
Yeah, I mean, same, right? It's like you finish the quest so quickly, the main quest of the story, that you know to hold on and not kill time, but sort of level up and explore and all that is really the name of the game at this point. And so wandering and just seeing what's out there is interesting. I mean, the two-headed deer and two-headed cows are kind of funny, and plenty of raiders. I saw my first bug, like game bug. I was walking on a road down a hill, and dog meat was inside the pavement for a while before popping back up. So that was kind of a sight to see. And I know Bethesda games have some jank to them, so, and that's a known quantity when you play any Bethesda game, so I'm just embracing it.
Yeah. Have you had dog meat go down in a fight?
Not yet, but very close.
Oh, okay. I have. So, like, if when dog meat goes, like, gets too much of his health taken and is, like, basically down, you can stim him to get him back better. Or,
oh, that's what you're talking about. I thought you meant down dead.
No, not down dead. No, down isn't just, like, down.
Yeah,
not gonna be
I've stim-packed him, yeah.
You can stim, or if you clear out all the enemies around, his health then just regenerates.
Oh, good to know.
Which is good to know, because it took me a little bit, because I was like, I am wasting stims on dog meat right now.
Dog meat is useful.
I know. I won't say wasting, but I had to use extra stims on
him. You can't be wasting it on dog meat.
Yeah. But I saw that. I saw that, though. If you like clear all the enemies of yourself around out, then like his health will just automatically regenerate. I fought a few things. I fought quite a lot of ghouls. I found a few ghouls in places now. I fought quite a few. I didn't fight it. I saw a very bright green glowing ghoul that I was like, nope, I'm not going to go close to that, and just left him alone. I saw a super mutant and I said, nope. I shot it once and then it did nothing. And I was like, nope. Yep. And I just ran away.
Move along.
I was like, nope.
Come back with power armor or in a couple hours.
I was like, that didn't do. I was like, that thing is way higher than what I have right now.
Yeah.
So nope.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, just a few funny things. There was one. Yeah.
Oh, go ahead.
No, one, not even up enemies, but I just like noticed this because I've been collecting stuff like the pre-war money, what they call it. And it actually comes out as like junk in your inventory, but it's used as cloth. So I love that it's like our money, our dollars, or everything, but you use them as cloth instead because they're just useless. It's useless.
Yeah, I mean, if you really think about it, like physical money in all of its forms is literally just random value associated to nothing.
Yeah, and this is bottle caps. Bottle caps is now the money.
Bottle caps are the most random type of coin money of all time, considering how, you know, mostly useless they are now. But I think the other question I had too is, after our experience in Silent Hill 2 Remake, did you also look inside every totally destroyed car, hoping for ammo or items, and then find nothing? I was going to make that comment.
Yeah, I'm kind of shocked that cars don't
have nothing in them. They might have been stripped like 100 years ago.
Yeah,
but there's plenty of them out there, so I'm surprised. Yeah, they don't
have doors or anything on, or like their trucks with like flatbeds, and I like keep looking and I was like, nope, there's nothing.
Yeah, no conveniently placed bottle of health pills or syringes or ammo just sitting around in a car, on the seat of a car, or in a trunk, or anything.
No. Yeah,
what's going on here? I mean, everything must have been looted when people first started coming out of vaults, or the people that survived outside made it over there.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the other major comment I have is, I'm really digging the VAT system like I expected I would.
I've only used it a couple times. I've been really bad. Like, I just see stuff and I just shoot it.
So, I mean, and as just like practice nature of playing a lot of first person shooters. I think the reason for me is I've played some of this on PlayStation Portal. Well, that handheld console is not the greatest for accuracy in shooters in general. The VAT system takes a good portion of the need for accuracy out of it because it's just stat based and proximity based. And so it's number one, I mean, playing on the Portal, it's awesome to just wander at the wasteland casually in bed while doing something else. But I like the VAT system for that reason, because I don't like the joysticks on that are okay, but not super accurate and can, you know, still nail shots pretty regularly. So I've put a handful of experience points into, I don't remember what the stat is, agility maybe, that makes your VATs more accurate or more, you get more action points so you can sprint longer.
Okay. Endurance?
And possibly.
No. I've been doing endurance. That or agility. I think it's agility. And okay. Yeah, okay.
Because then you can, it gives you extra action points available for VAT. So you can do, like, I think you start out with 3 initially, and then you can obviously put points in as you want into your character before even starting the game. But so you, whatever you start with, it can just keep adding slots to that. So you can take multiple shots with VAT. Yeah, I made pretty even, but I leaned a little bit further into a couple things. I don't remember which ones.
So I only put luck at 2. I think you could do everything. Everything to 4? Might have been everything to be.
Yes, I think everything to 4. Yeah. I did like a couple 4s. I did
luck at 2 and then, yeah.
I did a bunch of 4s, a couple 5s, and a couple 3s.
Mm-hmm.
One of which being strength. So, you know, recommendation there, upgrade strength. More for the carry capacity for all the junk you pick up than melee damage, if you ask me. But that's why I'm putting points in the strength, is just to be able to carry more so I don't have to run around and store everything all the time.
I had done endurance for some health / more of the stamina and all that to move, and also with some of the guns. And also, I think also endurance, it gave me I'm on the second part and I'm up to 20% like damage resistant.
Yeah.
I was upgraded. So I was like, that's helpful right now at the start, so I'm not taking as much damage from some of the stuff.
Yeah. So, makes sense. I mean, if you scroll down there, I thought it was going to be those were the 7 skills or something that you can upgrade, and there's 20, 30, 40 of them. It's a lot of things, and there's a lot of points. So, I mean, obviously, you can level up pretty high in this. I guess we should take stock of what level we are when we actually finish the story, because I'm curious, what's possible, how are we going to be done? I mean, any other
first impressions, I'm just really enjoying it. Just a couple, like, I've done some other side quests, I won't talk about them here, but one, it wasn't a side quest, but it was on my way to that side quest of helping out the farmers or the raiders.
Mm-hmm.
It was in, like, it's just below or in a city called Lexington. Like just below, and I went in there and I was like climbing up and I heard some raiders and I went to like go and I killed one, and then one is like sort of in a not power armor but a more like protected suit, and he turns around and he shoots me with what is called, because I killed him later, called a mini nuke. The gun is called a Fat Boy, and it shoots out mini nukes. And he shot me with a mini nuke and I instantly died. And I got a trophy that says touchdown. I was like, oh, it's because it's like you're catching it and just instantly killed. I thought that was kind of funny that's a trophy called touchdown.
I mean, there's the bit of humor there that they got to throw in a weird situation like that.
I went and picked it up, but it's like however many pounds, like 20, 30 pounds. And so it just makes your weight just instantly.
Yeah.
So I was like, I don't think I have any mini nukes anyway for ammo, so there's no point in me carrying this.
Yeah, definitely not. But
like,
I'm sure I'll
find some
mental later note to where the thing is.
Yeah. But I just found that, and that was just funny to me. Like, I shot the first guy, which was just regular, and then I see this guy, like, sort of in armor, but I can't tell what gun he has, and then he just shoots it, and it's just a mini nuke that just obliterates me.
I think they, what they do really well here is, like, that kind of off-kilter humor.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm ready to see more of that. Yeah,
definitely. I mean, you can use it too in some of your talking. Like, there are sarcastic ones that you can answer sarcastically, which I've done to a couple of people.
Yeah.
And all that, sarcastic response. Yeah. which is fun. Yeah, but overall, I'm enjoying, as I said, it didn't take long for the first few missions, but I've put now probably another 3 or 4 hours just roaming around looking for stuff. So,
yeah, same here. And I imagine it will be the same for most of the way through, based on what we've experienced so far. Yeah. So, for next time, our goal is to play and complete the main story, the single main story quest, Jewel of the Commonwealth, which I believe is all the way down in Diamond City, so at least you got some terrain to cover before then. So once you finish that, and as much side questing as you're in the mood for, save and quit and hang on for next time. Just don't start the following main quest, which is called Unlikely Valentine. We'll save that for next time.
Yep.
Catch up later.
Yeah, thanks everybody for listening. Have a good one. If you want to follow along and discuss our playthrough of Mave Games on the Gaming Backlog Book Club podcast, please give us a follow on your podcast platform of choice. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Pandora, Amazon Music, or Pocket Casts, as well as our Discord and Instagram under the same name.